This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at ArenaClub.com.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're on the free Odyssey app. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on TuneIn Radio. We're on YouTube. And it's not just me. Hey, look, everybody, it's Anthony Haney. Happy Thursday. Although, Anthony, man, I know I'm not trying to rub this in. I'm just trying to establish my mindset. I keep having to remind myself it's Thursday because I will not be here tomorrow. And in fact, this is the last time you will hear me until next Friday. Two separate trips, actually. Get back on Sunday, get on a different plane, go the other direction on Monday. So heck of a travel time for your boy. But I typically coach on Friday mornings on the fitness side. And often the last like month and a half, Rachel and I have gotten to a nice rhythm of going to going on a coffee date before I coach in the morning. And so this morning, because I'm not coaching tomorrow and we had another coach who normally coaches on Thursdays who is out, I took the Thursday. Someone else is going to take my Fridays. And so we decided, since this is kind of our Friday and I was going to coach, like, let's go on our coffee date this morning. And so I'm in like full mental, it's Friday. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, you can already see I'm in my home studio today. So like, that's normally a Friday thing. And I, yesterday, which was Wednesday, set up a Take Command podcast scheduling with a guest. The guest, Dan Pizzuta, who folks who listen to this show during football season remember is excellent. And in fact, you'll hear some of that conversation. It's not even out yet. Special sneak preview with Pizzuta here in just a few minutes. But I booked our podcast taping with me, Logan, and Dan for 9:30. As I'm walking to coffee with Rachel this morning, I realize, Anthony, I'm coaching at 9:30. I can't make that. Logan's schedule, check. He's typically the hardest one to nail down schedule-wise. Logan has 78 jobs. I only have like 65. Dan's schedule, check. My schedule, no, you dum-dum. You don't have all of Thursday morning available like you usually do because you are coaching. You'll be talking into a different microphone for a different purpose. So I had to reschedule that. But I the Friday vibes, they're strong for me. Are they strong for you too? Or are you like, no, this is Thursday and I have no idea what you're talking about other than the fact that we're speaking on a screen versus looking through some soundproof, allegedly, glass at each other?
Yeah, I have work tomorrow, correct? So
yeah,
it won't be Friday until I know that the next day I don't have work. So yeah, I'm a little jealous of you, and I wish I was, well, you know,
I had no jealousy when you were gallivanting around Europe last week, Antoine/Antonio. So
that's fair.
You know, like this is part of life.
Yes.
Especially during the summer, people do stuff. So that's mentally where I'm at. I have not known what day it is the entire day. But it's Thursday, which does mean, by the way, an hour from now, never read the comments. We got a bunch on Commanders uniforms, on Terry, some thoughts on our NBA chat with Ben Golliver. That we had, was that this week, last week? I don't remember. That was this week, right?
No, we didn't have Ben Golliver on this week.
Oh, we had him last week?
Yep.
Maybe that was Friday. I think that was last Friday. So that was your last day that you weren't with us. It was good, Anthony. You should go back and listen to it. I think you'll enjoy it. But we had some good comments, some good thoughts on that. So that is coming up a little bit later on in the show. Where we're going to start today, though, is an article that we caught earlier in the week. And it is Bill Barnwell. So we're dead in ranking season, of course. I think everybody knows that, where every analyst is putting out their previews and rankings and this and that. And Bill Barnwell, ESPN, did his annual position group rankings for skill position guys. And so that was poorly described. His skill position group rankings for teams. So what he did was he ranked 1 through 32, took the playmaker groups for each team, and ranked them. So these are his big, bold headlines of what matters in these rankings. And then coming up next, we'll get into it, including where the Commanders fall. This is only about 2025 on-field performance, so he leaves out things like contract value and long-term projections. Injury histories and suspensions matter. And he says, I can't see the future, but it would be foolish to not consider a player's recent track record of health in projecting what they might do. T. Higgins is a star on a snap-by-snap basis, but has also missed 10 games over the past two seasons. Christian McCaffrey has been an MVP hopeful when healthy, but has missed huge chunks of three of the past five seasons. On down the list, et cetera, et cetera. He also mentions a guy like Jordan Addison, who's got an upcoming court case, and so there might be a suspension there. For whatever it's worth, he said, I'm not expecting potential hold-ins such as Terry McLaurin to miss meaningful time. So, whatever that's worth. Wide receivers are weighted more heavily than running backs or tight ends. In the current NFL, the high point for a running back or tight end in terms of average salary is Saquon Barkley's new deal, which pays him $20 million. Obviously, Jamar Chase is making double that. And in fact, 21 different wide receivers have averaged salaries north of that mark. So the league is valuing receivers more, thus he does. The focus is on elite players and the team's top five contributors. And those are the main rankings. So Anthony, I have intentionally all week, even though this, I love this concept, and I know we're going to talk about it, I haven't looked at the rankings yet. Have you looked at these rankings? Do you know where Washington is?
I literally looked at the rankings 3 minutes before the show started.
Oh, okay. Look at you being prepared. Which show do you think this is? I'm going to throw a dart. I'm going to say Washington comes in at 13. That is a total guess. We'll see if I'm right, and we'll look at his list next on The Hoffman Show.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. All right, Bill Barnwell and company at ESPN ranked the top position group, skill position guys in the NFL, 1 through 32. My guess is that the Commanders are at 13. I have not looked yet, so we'll see. We'll quickly run through the bottom. Let's go to 20, Anthony. I'm just going to scroll to say everybody, if there's anything that we find interesting, let's get there.
What if the Commanders are there?
Then I guess we'll spend more time there. Okay. It's a great point. I don't think they'll be here, but we'll see. 32 is Tennessee, 31 Carolina. Man, that is rough. Tennessee is that bad. I didn't realize that. Jeez. New England, 30. They're terrible. Cleveland, yikes. 28, Buffalo. Ouch. That feels low.
I think it's spot on.
I guess the Jets have Garrett Wilson. Okay, Jets, Giants, maybe. Bears. And really, if we're thinking about it in terms of talent, that's a game changer because scheme, you know, is obviously a huge deal. The Saints, as he starts off, it's tough to figure out what to do with Chris Olave. Yeah, yeah. It feels like a guy that should maybe never play football again based on how many concussions that he's had. 23 is Denver. Who's Denver got? Is Denver really that much better than Buffalo?
No.
That feels.
You got Cortland Sutton, though.
Marvin Mibbs is nice as a gadget player. J.K. Dobbins, I don't know,
outside of Josh Allen and James Cook, who do the Bills have?
They got
two good tight ends, Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah, and it depends on how healthy the tight ends are. I mean, James Cook, though, is really, really good. Like, I know he's not running backs, is only waiting so much, but like, dang, James Cook's a good back. And they run him a lot. Like, that is the thing about running backs, right? Is like, yes, they are less valuable for a lot of reasons, which is a whole separate discussion, but they do touch the ball a lot depending on the offense. And he's like a 20 touch a game type of guy. So
yeah,
it seems like he should push the value up. Chargers with Ladd McConkey and company at 22. The Steelers at 21. I guess. I mean, DK's nice, but that seems high. The Raiders at 20. Obviously, Brock Bowers is the feature piece there. I don't even know. Can I name a Raiders wide receiver? Who do they even have?
I don't know.
I mean, Brock Bowers is their number one guy. He should count more than the average tight end because he gets the ball a ton. They obviously also drafted Ashton Jeanty, and they have Raheem Mostert as well. So, like Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker, not great. All right, so definitely we can squabble with some orders there. Seattle, he's got at 19, which is wild because they were 8-4 in 2024 and 2023, respectively. The DK Tyler Lockett departure, they bring in Cooper Kupp. So we'll see how that works out with JSN. Jacksonville at 18, that's one that could, I'm not saying it's wrong, that's one that could look bad if Brian Thomas Jr. turns out to be what he was last year and Travis Hunter has a massive rookie year, but they're both super young. The Packers, they win the weirdest skill position group in the league. How many number two receivers can you have? The limit does not exist.
Nope.
All right. The Colts at 16. How do you, Mr. Colt, feel about the Colts at 16?
I mean, I think Jonathan Taylor sort of kind of gets disrespected. But I think outside of Michael Pittman, I think their receiving core have a lot to prove. And then the rookie, he also has a lot to prove too. So we'll see what Tyler Warren does. But I think this is okay, middle of the pack.
Yeah, it feels like there's actually not a ton of separate. Like, that's why someone like Jacksonville being where they are kind of surprises me, where I'm like, they just feel like their ceiling could be so much higher. I did like this part of the write-up from Barnwell. He goes, no other group of receivers suffers more because of its situation. The Colts dropped back for just 567 passes last season, the fourth lowest of any team, and nearly 21% of those passes were off target. So maybe the receiving group is better than we think. It's just the quarterback play was so poor that you don't really realize it. 15, the Arizona Cardinals. Have you seen the photos of Marvin Harrison Jr.? I know, like,
that dude
it's
is jacked.
I know that, like, we're not supposed to read too much into off-season photos, but, like, the side-by-sides of him last year compared to this year, holy cow.
I thought he was huge coming into the NFL. This guy.
I want to know how he moves, because, yeah, like, he looks like a Megatron robot type of dude. And it's, yeah, like, okay, well, if you move like Megatron Calvin Johnson, that's fine. If you're going to be super stiff, that's not ideal, but we'll see. He's clearly put some time into the gym. 14, Houston Texans. Obviously, I think they could be way higher if the injuries were good, and we'll see how the rookies are. They drafted both Jalen and Jaden from Iowa State. Jaden Higgins, Jalen Noel. They got Christian Kirk, which to me is like a great signing or a great acquisition for them. And obviously the star there is Nico Collins, and we'll see what happens with Tank Dell. Anthony, I hit it on the dot. The Commanders are 13.
Yeah, when you said 13, I was like, did you get a sneak peek of this article? But no, 13 was a great guess, like, fantastic.
And I think we're now in the area where, like, with Houston, with Washington, with whatever teams that I haven't said yet that are coming next, a lot of these teams in this area have the higher potential ceiling, depending on how some things go. You know, one thing Pizzuta said, because he wrote the FTN football, like the guys who run FTN are the guys who used to run Football Outsiders. So if you've ever heard of the Football Outsiders Almanac, then now it's now the FTN Almanac, and Dan helped write it this year. And he actually wrote the Commanders chapter. And he said, as he was reviewing all the stuff, one, he actually went back and listened to some of the times that he was on the show, because he was like, I wanted to remember what it was like to be in the moments for some of these games and some of these discussions. So, Anthony, if we have any weird podcast traffic, it's just Dan listening back to himself and our show from earlier this year, which is kind of funny. But larger picture, on this season, he said when he was doing the homework on Debo, he's like, he actually was having a really good season until he got pneumonia. And he got pneumonia in the middle of the season. And while he was out, Brandon Ayuk got hurt. And he comes back, and obviously, like, pneumonia has long consequences. So he was sick, basically. Like, his lungs weren't working properly for the rest of the year, and his body probably wasn't up to, like, normal amounts of energy. And the whole offense had changed. So he's pretty high on what Debo could be this year, which I thought was interesting. As for where Barnwell is, he had them 26th last year, 21st in 2023. He says the arrival of Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury leveled everyone up in Washington. Terry McLaurin, finally given a quarterback worthy of his talents, soared on a per-route basis. He finished 16th in yards per route run and nearly doubled his prior career high in touchdowns, racking up 13 before adding three more in the playoffs. He didn't set a career high in receiving yards by virtue of not getting the same target totals he saw at times in previous seasons, but he was at his most efficient best with improved quarterback play. He talks about how Olamide Zaccheaus and De'Ami Brown exceeded expectations. Noah Brown should return in a lesser role. The big addition is Debo, who averaged 110 scrimmage yards per game during his all-pro season in 2021 and 64 scrimmage yards per contest across his other five seasons. He's a true outlier in terms of generating yards after catch year after year, and he should fit well as a part of all the screens the Commanders run, but he also has had consistent issues with fumbles, drops, and injuries. Projecting a Samuel turnaround like the ones we saw for the reclamation projects of Zach Ertz and Austin Ekeler last season is more difficult considering he's leaving an offense built by Kyle Shanahan. fair. Ertz and Eckler back, and Brian Robinson Jr. has developed into a reasonable between the tackles rudder, but I want to see whether this team's high 2024 draft picks develop. So that's Sinnott and Luke McCaffrey. And that's basically the main thing. It's like, how good are Sinnott and McCaffrey going to be? Do you get another year of Ertz and Eckler type of production and Debo? So, like, to me, that's asking all the right questions, and it really comes down to when you put them versus some of the other questions this team in this area has, how likely you are to get yeses to one of them, two of them, all of them. If they're all, then you have a top 10 group. Like, if Debo's not, again, he's never doing 2021 again. That's a one, that's a two of a kind season in NFL history based off some metrics that I don't remember off the top of my head, but I looked up a couple weeks ago. Terry, you're probably getting similar, I would hope, as long as he gets the same type of targets. You know, other guys I think can step up. But if you get good Debo, you get good Ertz, you get all this, like, this is a top 10 group. It's just, it feels like the chances that that all goes right is slim to none. Now, the good news is I think they'll be good enough anyway. Like, the quarterback is good enough to elevate whatever they've got skill position wise, that they'll still be a playoff team. But I think this is totally fair in terms of the rankings. Like, I don't know if we'll encounter a team in the final 12 that I'm like, that team is so definitively worse than the Commanders that this is a travesty.
Yeah, I like the little tier that the Commanders are in. And as you were talking about, you know, with some of the other teams, the Jags and, you know, the Raiders per se or the Seahawks, a lot of those, it's tough to like really put them in the correct order when they're all in like the same bucket. So I think this bucket that we're in right now is perfect. And I think it's all ultimately going to come down to, you know, Cliff being able to, you know, utilize our guys' best assets. And I think he did a phenomenal job with that, you know, in terms of getting Eckler the ball in space as opposed to like running him, you know, between the tackles and things of that nature. Granted, he did do it, but his best bet was, you know, getting him the ball in space. So I think with Debo, I think with Terry, I think Cliff is, you know, going to be himself and, you know, cook up some stuff.
For sure. All right. So then you've got Kansas City at 12, and to them, like, it really comes down to how good Rashee Rice is. They've got Xavier Worthy still, but, like, if Rice is back and not suspended for most of the season, like, this group is probably fine. If not, like, I still think they have a lot to be desired. But they have a ton of injury stuff. Oh, that's a weird group. I could definitely see, like, Washington finishing way ahead of Kansas City, but
I don't know about way ahead. I mean, because you still got Travis Kelce.
It's more I see the downside to Kansas City. Like, if Rice has an 8-game suspension, Worthy is a more of a gadget player in his best use than he is like a true receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Kelsey's not Travis Kelce what he used to be, but is still good.
Yeah.
Like, is he what Ertz is last year? If so, like, that's a heck of a season, but, like, it's not Travis Kelce that can carry an offense.
Yeah.
Then, like, how much better is that group really?
Yeah. So I would agree. Then Rice is probably the X factor that unlocks.
Yeah. And I think Terry's better. Like, actually, I would probably put, if I'm being honest, I'd probably put Washington over Kansas City. Again, I don't feel like violently about it, but, like, is Terry or Rashee Rice a better player? I think Terry's a better player.
I mean, yeah, Terry's definitely a better player, but I just look at their speed, though, also, man.
Their speed's crazy. It's great.
You got Worthy. Like, you got Hollywood Brown. Like, that's
he never
scary.
Plays. And that's, like, that's the other thing, too, is, like, okay, health. The Debo versus Hollywood, who plays more games? That's not a bet I want to take on either side.
Yeah.
Based on the last couple years. Dallas is 11. The upside there is obvious. The downside is also obvious. Dolphins, again, same thing. Falcons, they're good. They're deep. Drake London's fantastic. Baltimore, Zay, Henry, Andrews, the other type, Bateman, like, by the
likely.
Way. Yeah, likely. Bateman was awesome last year, by the way, low mm-hmm. key. Tampa is at 7, which almost feels low, but, like, Godwin coming off the injury and is older. Evans, older, but they still have a ton of depth. Minnesota, they've got JJ. Rams, they've got Puka and Devontae. That makes sense. San Francisco, again, it just comes down to the health. Like, I could see San Francisco dropping in this based off of health, but based off what they're capable of doing. I mean, Ayuk, McCaffrey, Kittle, they still have Juszczyk, who's like a weapon for them. You know, Juwan Jennings has turned into like an excellent receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So, got that. Bengals, duh. Lions, kind of duh. And then the Eagles have the number one with AJ. And yeah, I think that's about right. Again, I can quibble with none, but outside of like Buffalo being way lower than I think that they should be based off the teams around them and how much I like James Cook. I don't have any major gripes with that list, and I think Washington's right around where they should be.
Yeah, I mean,
which is much less fun than when we get to yell at the national media for being ridiculous.
Nah, for real.
All right, when we get back here on the Hoffman Show, we have for you a conversation with me, Logan Paulson, and Dan Pizzuta answering a mailbag question that we got. Speaking of answering your questions and responding to you, we have Never Read the Comments 1 hour from now. Also, 5 o'clock. Massive scandal in the NFLPA. Kaylin Kaler from ESPN's reporting on it. She'll join us then. We're locked. We're loaded. We have a little Nats in the 6 o'clock hour. It's the Hoffman Show on the Team 980.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio. And if you miss any part of the show, you can catch it on the podcast feed. Just search the Hoffman Show wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. All right, right now, discussion we had earlier today, me, Logan, and Dan Pizzuta, who was on the show a ton last year, NFL analyst. And it's in response to a mailbag question that we got that we thought Dan would be the perfect guest to help us answer. So without further ado, I'd set up all the question and stuff in the segment. So I'm not going to talk, double back. It's the thing that I hate when hosts do, including myself. So I'm going to stop talking now. Anthony, let's hit the button. We got a bunch of great mailbag questions, Dan. And we had one on like AI and analytics and statistics and the advancement in those areas in football. And Logan and I kind of went, we could probably do a decent answer to this, but I want to get, like, we both wanted to get someone who knows more about that stuff than us. And as we started to think about who the really smart data people are that we know in the sports media, you were the first person that came to mind. So just as background, like, how did you get into the data analytics side and viewing football through that lens? And then obviously you do a ton of film work and stuff too, so it's not like you're single-sided, but specifics in the data analytics side, like, how did you get into that stuff?
So I kind of got into it by reading a lot of Football Outsiders. So I think it was really like the origin story there is like, I'm not like a data guy. I'm not like a computer science type of guy, right, who like came into it in a statistics way. You know, I honestly, the first thing that got me into it was listening to a Bill Simmons podcast back in the day. And Aaron Schatz was the guest. And I think they were talking about it was a Super Bowl or something. And just the way Aaron was describing things and how they worked and how like we should be thinking about how things worked just made sense to me. So I started really getting into that and, you know, reading Football Outsiders all the time, getting more into statistical things because, you know, I didn't, you know, play football coming up. So that was my kind of introduction to figuring out how some things worked. And then, like you said, I started diving into film more, starting to marry those things. And I think in a lot of my writing is trying to answer why things are happening. And I think when you can kind of mesh two of those things together, that's kind of where I found where it is helpful. You could either look at things from the film, go to the numbers and see like, is this telling the same story? And then the same thing, you're looking at some of the numbers and then you can go back to the film. And so I think it's just a smart way to kind of figure out what is going on and why that's happening.
So like, what's your process look like? I mean, that's really interesting. Like, do you do numbers, like what your data sets look like, and then like how do you, like you said, you kind of do both film and numbers, so where does that intersection happen? And like, do you look at the film first then go back to the numbers, or vice versa?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. You know, like during the seasons, usually, you know, I'll you know, the past couple of years, I've written like a really big, you know, like Sunday night, Monday morning column. So I'll be sitting there, you know, taking notes and kind of checking on things that I would like to, you know, dig a little bit deeper into. And then I had, you know, access to some things like a True Media, which is, you know, populating a lot of numbers that happen on Sunday night. And I'll kind of dive into that, look at the numbers to see if they check like some of the notes that I was making earlier in the day. And I'll continue to dive into that, go back to some film and kind of check on some plays a little bit. So it's kind of, it just depends on what I am looking at the moment and what I really want to dive into. I think there's certainly both things. A lot of times, you know, be looking into, you know, either, you know, an FTN Stats Hub or a True Media, kind of looking at numbers. And then, you know, a lot of things like a True Media and even NFL Pro now, where if you're looking at some of this data now, they have the film available, so you can be like clicking on, you know, all third downs that you want to look at. And so I think it's just an easy way to be looking at both. So it, depending on, you know, if I'm looking at a specific article, sometimes I'll, you know, look at the data, see what it says, go to the film and then see like kind of why the stats are saying that. I think it is a fun way to be looking at it too.
Logan, I'm actually curious for you, like when you play, like you watched a ton of film when you played, was there any statistical stuff that you look at or that any players you think look at?
So on what day is that? So on Monday, they give us like a big packet and usually it has like coverage percentages. So it's like, oh,
right,
on first down, it's, you know, what is it? 40% cover three, 20% cover four. And then they'll bring these pressures at this kind of rate. And then obviously those percentages change on third down. So I didn't use that as like a ton because like part of the thing, the muscle you're working is like the reaction to the coverages, right. So like, can I identify? But you are kind of like stacking your chips, saying like, I'm anticipating three because they run that 40% of the time or 50% of the time based on formation and personnel, and then I'm going to adjust to the other stuff. So that was kind of as far as the numbers went for me, because in the moment it came down to more like when you're playing, it comes down to more identification, like in the moment, like, is this the front? Is this the pressure? Is this? Because it, like the percentages, well, like if you're playing cards, it's important, and it does kind of help inform your study and your adjustments and all those different things. Like, you really got to make sure that in the moment you've identified it correctly. So yes, it played a role, but I do think like the film, the tape, the walkthrough, the practice stuff was definitely more impactful than the raw data, so to speak.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I also think too, like some stuff we don't think, like you can put a quantitative number on things. Like if the guy's hand is on his knee versus on his hip, run versus pass, like you think of that as a film study tendency. But if that were to be presented to you as 100% of the time on a data set, like technically that's a statistical analysis too. It's just how often you're playing the percentages, you're playing the tendencies and Dan, things like that.
Yeah. And that's, you know, the different types of, you know, analytics. I think like that is a very broad term that not everyone really uses correctly, I think. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that is just charting data, which comes from either someone charting. And as we get to it, like there is some like AI now that is just like picking up the movements and then charting it. So there's charting data, which I use a lot when I'm working because it is telling you what is actually happening on the field. You know, then there's, you know, EPA and things, which, you know, someone like in Logan's, what his EPA is not necessarily going to matter to him, right? That like that's something fun for me to be explaining what is happening on the field. But those charting tendencies and things, not necessarily something that he's going to have in his head, you know, as he's lining up, but it does for, you know, the coaches and things. If that is used and I think talked about correctly, because I think a lot of things in NFL buildings, you can have a lot of this data, but if it's not being expressed and communicated in a way that is clear and making it matter, then it really is not being used. So yeah, I think there is a lot of some of that charting data and things like that can be presented in a way where it definitely is helpful for game planning, which will then give, you know, the players something to look at, even though they probably aren't going to have the exact numbers in their head as they're, you know, going into the game planning.
Yeah, that's a good point. Cause I think like, obviously like for a player, like what's actionable is way different than what's actionable for like a coach. You know, like I think about the fourth down percentages and how those are slowly going up in the last couple of years. And again, that's actionable on win percentage, right? And that's, you know, you're talking in some cases fractions of percentage points, but when you're looking for every inch, like that's significant for a head coach to kind of be aware of in the game situation, down and distance, score, number of possessions left in the game, like what, like should I go for fourth down here? And I think like though that's again, I'm not saying like as a player that's too much for me to be thinking about, but the coaches should definitely be thinking about, specifically the head coach here in Washington's case, because that's Dan's kind of area in his call, and I know he has kind of been leaning in more to that, those higher level analytic models a little bit more recently. So
yeah, for sure. I think, you know, something that we've all talked about separately, and I think, you know, well, Dan and Logan, this is their first time talking, but I know I've talked about it with both of you separately as well, is like analytics are, and any piece of data, whether you want to call it analytics or not, that term has a certain, you know, stigma to it amongst other people. It's just stats. Some of them are just more fancy. They have some higher level of calculation that's required versus, I don't know, completion percentage. But analytics are a tool, and the tool is only as good as the craftsman who's using it. And so, like, we talked about that a lot this week on the radio show in the baseball world, because Mike Rizzo, the now fired general manager of the Washington Nationals, I don't think was the greatest craftsman when it came to the analytics side, and some of his underlings who people are like, how can you, you know, go potentially even consider the second in charge for a guy who's been there for a bunch of years? It's like, well, he's a much better craftsman with this particular tool. And so I think that when you look at, you know, and the same thing we've talked about with the coaches for the Commanders, like Rivera said he looked at a lot of analytics. I don't know that Ron Rivera was a very good craftsman when it came to looking at said analytics. Dan Quinn, excellent craftsman. And so whether it is the quality of data that you are pursuing, whether it is what you actually do with that data, because I mean, all of these things like fourth down, it's percentages. It's like we have a based off our analytical model, which some teams have super geared up for their personnel. A lot of the fourth down models that we see in the media world are more general to all 32 NFL teams over the course of the last however many years, whatever their inputs are, and they often disagree. But all of those are giving you percentages. And so if you understand as a coach that like, okay, it's 60%, we're going to go for it, or you know, it's 60% go, but we had an injury to our left guard 5 plays ago and he's not available and their defensive tackle has been crushing in the last 5 plays, like we might be on the 40% side here. And so I have to make that call. And also the upside is X percent winning percentage, or estimated winning percentage if we go, versus if we punt, there's only like it's only a 1% difference. So like, what kind of risk do we want to take on versus if we don't get it and the downside side of those equations? So it's not as simple as stay or go. Like, all of these things ultimately come down to the decision making, Logan, like you were just talking about. Or I think even Dan on the media side, like we were talking about, you know, how do you present the data? How you present the information? What conclusions do you draw from it determines who is using this stuff well versus who is not.
Yeah, and I think that is a really important place of how it's talked about and framed. And I think there are some things that, you know, I think it happened in baseball early on to when like the like analytics and things came out. And I think it happened a couple years ago in football where there were some, you know, public voices that were the way they presented it was like we solved football, which is very clearly not right. The case. And I think that kind of turned some people off to the overall message, which probably would have been helpful to, you know, come into more ears. And I think we've gotten away from that, and, you know, slogans and things like, you know, running backs don't matter. I don't think that was a very helpful thing to the cause, because that was never true. In a way, there was a lot of caveat to running backs are not the most important piece of a running game. But again, that's hard to say over and over again. But I think there were framings of ways that I don't think were helpful. But I think we've now, as it's gotten more into, you know, the overall kind of lexicon of how we talk about football, I do think it is easier to kind of express some of these ideas now. And there are, I think, better people at communicating these ideas that I think we do have kind of just more of an understanding of how we can use them and why they do matter.
So, well, I mean, that's a really interesting point. Like, so what do you think are like the, you know, if you had to give me like a top three, like what are the three kind of biggest analytical pieces that have developed over the last 10 years? I mean, you mentioned the running back thing. I think that's, again, I don't know if that's a great one. Like, the caveat there is it's really nuanced and complicated. But then, like, I think about the passing game. I think about the EPA numbers for the passing game stuff and how everyone's like, you should be passing all the time. Now that hasn't really bore out in the same way. Is there anything that you're like, this is the direction that you, like, maybe the future of analytics and something to kind of keep an eye on for the fans?
Yeah, I think, you know, fourth down still continue to be the big one that I think we are still continuing to get the kind of maximum of what that is. It's not just going for fourth downs now. I think now that teams are more open to it and know that, you know, a fourth and short is going to be something where you can probably are going to lean go in a lot of areas of the field, that's now completely changed how third downs work, and really also first and second down, because now if you get to a third and medium, I think we saw it a lot with Detroit this year. I think we saw it with Washington too, where third and seven, that might be a rundown now, because if you're gaining maybe 5 yards on a third and seven, you're now setting yourself up for a fourth and manageable, which you can now, you're more likely to go for if you are in a place where that does make sense. So I think the fourth downs overall are starting to change how plays are going to be called and how offenses are going to be able to structure themselves on third downs specifically, and even first and second down to get into you know, a third and manageable too.
Yeah, I think that's a really good one. Are there any other, like, when you talk about the advancement of analytics, sometimes it's the advancement of the understanding of analytics. Is there something that you think very differently about now versus like 5 years ago where you're like, oh yeah, this is how we use this piece of information. And now you're like, eh, maybe not.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially this year, specifically, I think, you know, how we've talked about the run game in the analytics community has certainly changed. And like I said, a bunch of years ago, I never fully bought into, you know, running backs don't matter. It clearly that is not the case. But how we saw how teams can, you know, with so much passing and how that was more valuable, offenses started to try to get that to more efficient and optimize to that. Defenses then were starting to optimize towards stopping the pass. Then we see a little bit more of a comeback for offenses. We can get a little heavier in personnel. Now that we're running against lighter boxes, having a run game is now more valuable for us because the defense is not selling out to stop that. So we do have some more room to work. So it's finding that balance and know that there is never one answer here. Like, again, we have not solved football. There's going to continue to be kind of this cyclical effect of what does and doesn't matter and how valuable that is on the field. So I think last year we saw the EPA between passing and running was closer than it had been in like decades. So I think that is, and to go off that, I think if you kind of have a quarterback that doesn't run, I think you're setting yourself in a box where there's such a small margin for error. And I think, you know, Craig, we talked about this kind of every week with Jaden Daniels, right? Having a quarterback that can run, especially a young quarterback, it just increases your margin for error to allowing him to develop kind of on the fly. There were mistakes kind of that this offense could get away with because there was a way to bail yourself out of those mistakes, which I don't think, you know, Jared Goff, you know, when he was a rookie, there was not that, you know, break glass in case of emergency piece. If the offense wasn't working like that, it was a dead play. So I think we have seen the value in scrambles too, where if you're having, you know, playing 11 on 11 like that, we've seen the value of that happen and it bears out in numbers. And I think it, you know, it bears out on the field too.
It's really interesting to hear you talk about that. Cause like my old football person comes out and is like, it just seems like good football philosophy. Like, you just want to put the defense in conflict as much as possible and subvert expectations as much as possible. So it just seems like if you're operating under sound, like I'm an offensive guy, like sound offensive construction, sound offensive play selection, then you're going to be able to keep the defense off rhythm, right? Like, kind of like what you're talking about with the run game, right? Like, if we're getting a lot of two shell, if we're getting a lot of like light boxes, we should attack that. We should attack that weakness and force them to adapt what we want. So, I mean, I'm sure there are numbers that support that, but that also seems to me just stupid former football player, like common sense. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing that I have. Like we get all these numbers out there, but like, you know, I'm more likely to get a first down on four downs instead of three. Like, there's all these different things that just seem intuitively obvious. And so I guess, what is the actual advantage of some of this data if you are operating under sound principles?
Yeah, I think it is, you know, it kind of one of those things. It just kind of depends on, I think, how it is being used. Like you said, I think the best way is, I think a lot of the optimization in football is helping for things to get better, right? Because I think like in baseball, it's, you know, the home runs or nothing really was kind of like how analytics started to play out. But in football, it is, you know, being more aggressive. And I think that does lead to, you know, more points and things. So I do think it is, like you said, there is certainly a marriage. I think the analytics people and the film people and like the old school football people, they're trying to get the same things across. I do think they have the same goals in mind. So I think they're just kind of talking in different languages. But I think the teams that are at least doing it the best are the ones that are just communicating those back and forth between those two sides together. So I don't think there is, you know, the fourth downs and things, the teams that have been going just against that. And like, I think those are teams like at a detriment. So I think you can optimize play calling a little bit because of it. And I think it's a lot of things, you know, off the field too, and how you're scouting some numbers that you're looking at. So I think there are just definitely edges that you can get from this. And if you're not using it at all, I think you are just putting yourself at a little bit of a disadvantage.
Yeah. I feel like it's a matter of taking away some of the guesswork, right? It's like, we watch film and we think this, and it's like, okay, well, now we have data to back it up. And something like an EPA per play can be like, hey, this is a way, like, we feel like this is really good for our offense or really damaging by this offense that we're scouting. And now, like, look at the numbers. It puts it into more black and white versus vibes. And if you're really smart about football, like, you're trying to accomplish these things and you probably understand these things from watching film. Like, I don't think a Sean McVay, or like, I don't think when you were playing, like, you don't need the data to be like, oh yeah, blocking Michael Strahan was hard. Like, you didn't need that. But like, if you can say, oh, this is how damaging this part of his game is, maybe you work a little bit harder to, you know, emphasize that part of the scout because you have a deeper understanding of just how damaging or effective this certain thing is. So I think it's just, it's clarifying.
Want more from Craig and Logan? Subscribe now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. More Hoffman Show next on the Team 980 and the free Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.